Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now we today live in days of great debt. I not just mean mortgages, but credit cards, hire purchase agreements, student loans, and so on. The amount owed is enormous. And there in verse 12, we read the word debt or debts. You see, God reckons human sin as being a debt. And indeed it affects every one of us. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that every one of us here in this room this evening is a debtor. And that is because we have not rendered to God that which is our just due, and we have failed to meet our liabilities. So the question is, to who or whom is the sinner in debt? Well, the answer, of course, is the Lord, God, our Maker. We owe to God our complete, total obedience. And we are indeed bound to the law of God. And we are accountable to its demands. And being in default of that law, and not paying our just due, which is of course obedience, means that basically we have run up a vast account, and consequently are hopelessly in debt. Now if we break the law of the land, we become a debtor to that law. And we become liable for punishment. And it's the same for the sinner. As sinners, we cannot pay or discharge our responsibilities, and therefore we are guilty. As a consequence, we face certain imprisonment. And that is, of course, eternal sentence in hell. And it is not going over the top or exaggerating to say this. In our natural state, in our sin, we are already condemned. And all we're doing, in a sense, is simply waiting for the execution of the sentence. The liberty that we enjoy until the punishment itself can be a bondage. Because we are under the strong arm of the law of God all the time, from which there is no escape. Sadly, this state of affairs is not realised by the majority of people around us. There is no liability quite like that of the debt of sin. Indeed, it is fearful to contemplate. We ourselves have nothing to pay and so clear our debt before a holy God. Now, an honest businessman will call a halt when he knows that financial disaster lies ahead. A receiver may be appointed, Financial experts will look at the situation and give their advice. Lists of creditors will be drawn up with the amounts owed to them. The company assets will be looked at, and it would be hoped that the creditors will receive something of what is owed to them. But there is nothing like this in the spiritual realm. Fallen man has nothing, absolutely nothing, to bring to God. He has no assets whatsoever. Now, God created Adam, the head of the human race, in his own image. It tells us, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, in his unfallen state, Adam was righteous, and he was able to render unto the Lord all that was justly due to him, and meet his every liability. There was no reason whatsoever for Adam to get into debt, but he did. He disobeyed God. He failed to meet his commitment, and thus became spiritually insolvent. And that resulted in all his descendants, including you and me, being in the same boat. We all fell in Adam, as he was the federal head or representative. His ruin is our ruin. In Romans 5:19 we read, "For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Basically, that it is called the doctrine of original sin, which means we have no righteousness of our own and nothing whatsoever to trade with. It's an impossible situation. It's made worse because original sin produces actual sin, which means we keep accumulating interest. And every day we live, our debt gets bigger and bigger and higher and higher. And of course, these sins even include our thoughts. And probably we don't really have the faintest understanding of the magnitude of our debt to God. We are in no way able to present a set of accounts to him. Just for a moment, consider an interview with the Lord. Psalm 50, verse 21. "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes." Down to the exact detail of each and every sin in thought and word and deed. Romans 2, verse 2. "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against that which commits such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt judgest them which do such things? Thou shalt not escape the judgment of God." Now, in the world, a bad debtor doesn't want to be called to account. He avoids his creditors and seeks to hide away. Now, this is true for people also in the spiritual realm. People don't want to come to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear it preached. People don't like the company of Christians. And many of it is because they are fearful that the matter of sin will come up. And they don't want to be reminded of these things. But Romans 14 tells us, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. People don't want to hear that today. A day of reckoning. They don't want to have contact with a servant of the living God who will confront them with the fact that one day they will have to give an account before the judge of all the earth. Now, when an earthly debtor dies, death frees him from his debts. But not so in the spiritual realm. The sinner who dies in his sin is not set free, and justice has to be met. Remember in Luke 16, the rich man was immediately upon his death in hell. Now, sometimes a person in this world will flee the country to avoid arrest. But in the case of a sinner's death, he's instantly arrested on the other side. The right hand of almighty power and steadfast justice will never let go or release. Spiritual insolvency is an absolutely hopeless situation. We can see why man has an aversion to God and wish that God really didn't exist at all. If only it was possible that death really was the end. When you're dead, you're dead. Complete annihilation and no judgment. But of course we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 9, it's appointed once for man to die and after this, the judgment. And each one of us has a conscience. And that conscience will not allow us to put away sin and the judgment to come. It reminds us that we are accountable. That is why there is so little deep peace and so little joy in so many people today. So the question is there any hope? Yes, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says there. Forgive us our debts. That means an acknowledgement of debt and a confession of sin. The self-opinionated and the proud find this very hard and are very reluctant to do it. But if we begin to consider our hopeless state and condition, then we will begin to think this way. Our prayers may be faltering, but they are a start. A work of the Holy Spirit brings awareness and confession of sin. Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And forgiveness is one of the first mercies that God gives to repentant sinners. He alone can do this. That was the question, wasn't it, that the Pharisees asked. Who can forgive sins but God only? How can a holy God do this? You could say, hasn't this sentence been passed? How can God forgive the sinner and discharge the guilty? What of the debt? What of divine justice? Now, God does not overlook the debt of sin. And divine justice must be fully met. And those under sentence will not know release until it is completely paid. In Matthew 5:26, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And of course it is on the basis of substitution that God forgives the debt. Somebody else has paid to the last farthing. And it is for this very act of substitution that the Son of God left heaven to come into this world to live a perfect life on behalf of and die for the sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who own bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world with the express purpose of putting away sin of repentant sinners by the sacrifice of himself. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is upon the ground of the propitiatory work, having been accomplished by Christ for his people, that forgiveness is granted by God. When a debt is paid, it's blotted out of the ledger. We only worry about a bad debt when there's money owing. Once it's paid, it goes out of the mind. This is what happens when we come to Christ for forgiveness. Pleading the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sin is locked in the strong room of the divine law courts. Are open through the grace of God, and a red line is drawn across the page. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There's another picture to look at in Micah 7 and verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and they will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, a burial at sea becomes a grave from which nothing can be disinterred. And the sins of the believer are in the ocean depths and can never be exhumed. They lie at the bottom undisturbed for everlasting ages and will never ever resurface. What a mighty work was done for us, and what a wonderful position that we have. Jeremiah 33 verse 8 says this, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me. And Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a full discharge. God knew the sin of every sinner elected for salvation. Every sin, past, present, and future, was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the debt in every detail and to the full amount there at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, every one of the sins of his people was nailed there with him. And it is because of the redemption which is in Christ that those once totally insolvent are not only cleared of the debt of their sin and fully discharged, but they enter into an eternal inheritance. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are made priests and kings as to God to reign with him in his eternal kingdom forever and ever. We read in Revelation 5 verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then Revelation 22 and verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. So, for us here this evening, those of us who are truly the Lord's, who have been born again, who have been blessed with salvation, our debts have been paid. It's wonderful, isn't it? Every sin, past, present and future. Any, of course, here not saved, you've still got an enormous, huge debt problem. And in which, unless you do something about it, will end up spending eternity in hell. What a blessing it is to know Christ. To know that our sins have been dealt with once and for all. Gone forever. Talks about them being buried in the bottom of the sea. Someone said to me, you should always, when you think that, think about a big sign there. When you're tempted to look back, no fishing. Don't go looking for it. It's gone. It's been dealt with. I remember once a dear brother in the mission by the name of Cliff Downing. And I was telling him some of the dreadful things I got up to before I was saved, especially in my younger years. And he said to me, Roger, it's all under the blood. And that's the best place for it. Well, may that be true for every one of us this evening. All our sin dealt with. All our debts cleared away. And of course there is that extra bit there. As we forgive our debtors. There is something as well for us to do as well. What a blessing it is. What an encouragement. Let's pray together.